Hi, my name is Mia Hernandez, and this is When Sheep Come Home. When Sheep Come Home is based off of the parable of the lost sheep from Luke 15. And I think in order to start out this podcast, you have to know that that's where the name comes from. And in order to do that, I'm just going to kind of tell you about my story a little bit and why this verse means what it does to me. I am a former Liberty University student, and before going to Liberty, I went to church, but I didn't grow up in the church. I wouldn't say that my family is particularly religious, and it was kind of a big step to go to a Christian university. I think a lot of it stemmed from the fact that it was conservative, but not necessarily Christian. But it was on a list of like top 10 conservative colleges in the United States. But because I had gone to church in the past and, you know, I had a Bible, I figured like, oh, I could probably do this. I could fall right in line with it. And the truth is that it is very Christian. It was a very Christian school, and I absolutely loved it, but I also did not realize what I was getting into when I first got there, where I think if you had asked me, I would have said, like, of course I believe in God. Of course, I believe that if there's a design, there must be a designer. There has to be a creator. I'm not naive enough to think that this just all came out of nowhere. You know, that's probably what I would have answered, but I don't think I could have said that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And I don't think I even understood that. I think at the time I really believed, you know, Jesus is a great teacher, but the idea of the crucifixion happening and, you know, Jesus rose, I didn't believe it. I really didn't believe it. And, you know, there were times in the Bible where, you know, I was like, that does not happen. Are you kidding? Like, this is a fairy tale. This isn't real. But I so desperately, desperately wanted to know Jesus. I was like, okay, like, I'm here. I want to know. I want to understand this Christian thing. Here's what I'll say. When I first went to Liberty, I think it might have been the people I was surrounding myself with. It could have been kind of the environment I was in. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why this worked the way it did. But I went to Liberty and I felt like I had so many questions where I was like, please, like, I'm not asking you questions about Jesus because I'm trying to argue with you. I'm like, prove me wrong. I'm coming in here with pre-existing beliefs. Prove me wrong. Please, like, tell me where I'm not understanding. Give me the proof. Show me. Like, I'm dying to know. And I think it made me really, really angry that I had such a great willingness to know God in that way and to know Jesus in that way, to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And it didn't, no matter who I reached out to, no matter who I tried to talk to, I felt kind of pushed away and kind of exiled in that. And it was absolutely heartbreaking. Again, that was not my entire experience with Liberty. I love Liberty. Love Liberty. I can't express that enough, that I think there are plenty of amazing people who I think it has to do with just who I was talking to at the time, because, you know, even as I'm sitting here thinking about it, there are so many people that I know that if I had reached out to, or that if I had known at that time, they would have loved to sit down and talk with me at that time. But it's just not what ended up happening when I was first going there. And I think, funnily enough, I think that has a lot to do with spiritual warfare. And, you know, the devil really tries to keep you away from knowing the Lord and tries to discourage you and tries to tell you, like, oh, look at his people, they won't even help you. Look at his people, they all, like, know him but won't sit down and answer your questions. Where I think it's the enemy trying to discourage 100%. But that's all to say that when I came across Luke 15:7 during that time, which is, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent, I was completely, like, mind blown, because I was like, here I am, like, ready to repent. I'm ready to come home and feeling like, you know, heaven is rejoicing and the people here are not, but reminding myself, like, God wants me here. And I think that made all the difference. So when Sheep Come Home is a celebration of people coming home, of people having a willingness to sit down and learn and listen and read and really continue engaging with the word and talking, kind of having like a meeting point where I felt like that is really what I want this to be. I want it to be a meeting point when sheep come home. Like, okay, now what? Which is very much how I kind of felt after being at school and having my own coming to Christ, of being like, okay, like, now what? Now I'm home. Like, what do I even do? Where do I go from here? So this isn't going to be so much like a step-by-step of each episode is, here's what you do next. Because it's not. There is no guideline. There is no rule book. I absolutely learned that right away. But having a place of, hey, look, I was in your shoes. Let me tell you, it's tough. It's not easy. But yeah, I just want this to be a place to sit down and read. And I think the biggest thing for me is having a good commentary and being able to understand truly like God's word. So now that I've explained my testimony a little bit and where this podcast is coming from and some context on Luke 15, I think it's time that we go ahead and jump into it. So I'm going to go ahead and read the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law murmured, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So, I don't know about you, but when I first started really reading the Bible, I was like, I had no idea where to start, what any of it meant. So much of it would just go directly over my head, and I felt like I just did not understand at all in the slightest what was going on. And my roommate freshman year, I say my roommate freshman year, she's been my roommate all 3 years that I was at Liberty. But my roommate introduced me to Enduring Word, which is a Bible commentary that I think just really helped me to understand. I mean, it still helps me. It helped me to understand the word and what things meant and really gave me the context. I love blah, 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 having the context of things. It just makes it so much easier and kind of builds up the story a little bit. In going through Enduring Word and opening up Luke 15, the first thing that kind of stood out to me in the commentary is talking about the following parables were spoken to the Pharisees and scribes who complained. The religious leaders of Jesus' day divided humanity into two classes, the unclean and the righteous. They decided to live as much as possible in complete separation from the unclean. Some rabbis of Jesus' day took this idea so seriously that they refused to teach the unclean God's word. The following parables were spoken to the Pharisees and scribes, but in the hearing of the multitude of tax collectors and sinners who drew near to him to hear him. I guess what I loved that was pointed out here was the fact that they were afraid of associating themselves with sinners or with who they deemed the unclean while Jesus was with them. Because I think a lot of times we kind of miss that in the church of, like, these are the people that we should be preaching the gospel to. We should be preaching the gospel to everyone that we come in contact with. And I think that's really tough sometimes for people to kind of understand, where I think To kind of go into my own little thing here. So the pastor at my church back in Lynchburg, I think, really spoke on this best when he talked about I don't know if it was a church that he was preaching at or kind of what the context of this was, but he was talking about how a gay couple decided to start attending this church and people were outraged about it. They were so angry. They were like, how could you allow these people to be here at the church and you're inviting them and you're acting like this is okay? And the response that was had was, well, where else would you rather them be? Like, and that was so cool to hear because it really does kind of sum up what, like, I don't even have words, but kind of talking about when we're like, oh my gosh, there's like a drug addict at church, there's this person at church, they're at church, where else do you want them to be but here? Like, this is exactly where they should be. And it just, oh my gosh, it breaks my heart. But I think that's a great way of kind of explaining what is going on here, is that so many people are like, oh my gosh, Jesus is sitting with these people and talking with these people and how dare he? And it's like, duh, literally duh. But anyways, the next part that I thought was so good is, it isn't strange that a sheep would be lost or that a shepherd would seek the sheep. It does seem strange that a shepherd would endanger 99% of his flock for the sake of 1%. Either the safety of the 99% were assumed, or the point of this parable is in the rejoicing, not in the neglect of 99% for the sake of 1%. I think that part is so, so good in the commentary. We're kind of explaining, because that was like something that I feel like I had a hard time wrapping my brain around, and I really didn't understand it until recently when I was reading through this in preparation for the podcast, was, wow, that is so crazy, and that, you know, the shepherd would leave the 99. Like, if there's one going out on its own, like, okay, you have 99 others. But the fact that he loves you and cares for you so much that he will go and seek you, even though he already has 99, it's not so much that he doesn't love the other 99 or that he's dismissing the other 9, but he loves you so much that he is going to seek you out even though he already has so many others. I feel like it speaks more on the love of Christ than it does the others that he had. It's not about the others that he had, it's that he loves you. That literally blows my mind. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I just can't even get the words together about that. But it is, like, to even realize, like, that is how much he loves you is so insanely cool. I mean, there's no words. The next piece that I think is really cool is, the lost sheep would never save himself or find the shepherd himself. If the shepherd did not take action, the sheep was doomed. Many rabbis of that time believed that God received the sinner who came to him the right way. But in the parable of the shepherd and the sheep, Jesus taught that God actively seeks out the lost. He does not grudgingly receive the lost. Instead, he searches after them. God finds the sinner more than the sinner does find God. I mean, okay. To kind of go on an additional little tangent, but it connects to this same story, is my freshman year, on campus we have something called RSs, which is a resident shepherd, and resident shepherds are kind of like spiritual leaders on the hall, and they lead community group leaders, which are divided into groups, and then you're able to have like discussions about campus community, which is like a Wednesday night service. But we had an RS on the hall who kind of gave she kind of gave like a sermon during a worship night, and she spoke to this story, and one of the things that she kind of talked about was that shepherds will go and they will actually like break the legs of sheep, of the lambs, and then carry them to ensure that they don't leave again. And while that sounds really, really brutal. It kind of speaks to, like, kind of having a jealous God and having a God that loves us so much that he wants to ensure that we're following him, that he'll make sure that we are coming with him, and he'll do what it takes to lead us in a good and happy life. I don't know that I'm explaining that correctly, because I'm saying it and it sounds awful, but I guess I'll give you an example. I joke about this a lot because I talk about it as the time that God really did break my legs. But what had happened is, I'd gone through a breakup, and at the time I was just going to the gym all the time. I was running like crazy. I was working out like crazy. Like, going to the gym made me so happy, and it was a way to get out my emotions. It was a way to kind of deal with things and handle things that I don't know that I just wasn't taking to God. And I didn't know it at the time. I did not recognize that that's what I was doing, but I was absolutely not taking it to God. And I don't know, I loved going to the gym. I was making sure it was like my top priority of how can I make sure that I get to the gym today? How do I make sure that I'm doing this today? And I'm trying to remember in what order this happened in, but first something happened with my hips where I have pretty bad joints and I have a lot of joint pain. But something was happening with my hips, and I threw like my right hip, and then I tore my hamstring and all my running, which running is something I basically shouldn't have even really been doing in the first place, but it was definitely like an emotional release for me. And then I started having, at this time, I think is when I got bronchitis. I got bronchitis, and literally since then, I feel like I've had like sports-induced asthma where I have the hardest time breathing while working out. But that's all to say that then I couldn't go to the gym anymore, and I couldn't deal with those emotions by burning them off at the gym, at listening to angry music and, you know, taking it out basically on my own body. And instead I was like, great, like, where do I put all these emotions now? And it was like, literally the second I asked that, it was like God was saying, like, okay, tell me about it now. Like, you were supposed to come to me about it. And I did. I realized that I'm kind of talking about it now, but yeah, I was able to recognize that what I was doing was not taking my emotions and kind of what I was struggling with to God, but I was taking them out at the gym. And that wasn't, obviously, that's not what God wants for us. It's not what he's asking us to do. And I think it's a good example of times that God does this as our shepherd when we're sheep, is he loves you so much, he'll go after you, but he's also going to make sure that you are following him and that you're listening to him. And I think that's so, so good. Where on one hand, yes, would I have liked to continue running, but is the joy that comes with loving the Lord so much better than anything I could have gotten out of the gym? Absolutely. Absolutely. Getting that time to sit down with him and tell him how I was feeling, read Bible verses on how to handle it, how to deal with it, and how to deal with it in a Christian way that not only benefits me but glorifies him, is so much more worth it than anything else I could have done. The next part that I think is really cool is talking about rejoicing. Rejoice with me, more joy in heaven. The emphasis in this parable is not on the proportion, but on the joy of finding the lost. This was the era of the Pharisees and scribes who complained. They were not joyful when tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus. Over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Though the sheep does nothing to rescue himself or repent, Jesus mentioned the need for repentance in the last few words of this brief story. It's almost as if he said, the sheep doesn't repent, but you need to when God finds you. This is so good. Okay, so to go on another one of my rants, I think this repentance aspect and having conviction is what differed going to Liberty and finding God versus times that I went to church when I was younger. is I think when I'd gone to church when I was younger, I was like, yeah, okay, I believe there's a God, and I think this will help me, and I think this will benefit me, when that's not really it, where, like, I did get baptized. I got baptized, and I was like, this, because this is what you're supposed to do. And I think once I started to go to Liberty, and I started developing, like, my own relationship with Jesus, it is, I really can't explain what happened or how this happened, but it was literally, like, one day it just clicked. It made complete and total sense, and I don't even know how to explain it, but I think it comes with the repentance is what followed and what I didn't understand, where I think God found me a long time ago. I think God finds everyone a lot sooner than they realize. I think God found me, but I don't know that I repented. I don't think I ever sat there and was like, you know what, this is how I'm sinning, and Lord, please forgive me. Because I think I don't even think I understood what sin was. Like, I knew, you know, lying is a sin, murder is a sin. But this is like, I'm really having a hard time trying to conceptualize this for someone who may not know, but it's taking a look at yourself and going, you know what, these things don't align with how Jesus walked and talked to these people and all of these stories in the Bible, and this isn't aligning with who he is, and I'm doing all these things wrong, and just going like, you know what, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry, I'm being very human, I'm doing this and this, and I lashed out at this person, I was angry about this thing, and I took this out in this way, and to kind of talk about conviction for a second, because I feel like this is really important, is I had, while I knew God when I was younger, I never felt conviction until I was at Liberty, where, you know, it's like you feel the exact second that you misstep. And I'm going to back up a little bit. When talking about conviction, it's not like morals. It's not like, oh, whenever I lied, I just felt totally fine about it. It's more of like a lie against God. I think that's the difference that I want to make extremely clear, that there is a difference between lying to a friend and then feeling like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And then like lying in a way that's like against God, and having that conviction of like, I don't want to do that again, and I'm sorry. It's conviction is something else. I'm kind of drawing a blank on how to explain that, because it is so different. But I really think God seeks you out and he finds you first. But then it's up to you to say, you know what, I've done this, and this wrong, and admitting that. And I don't think a lot of people are in a place to be like, you know what, I'm willing to give up drinking, I'm willing to give up drugs, I'm willing to give up whatever it is that they're battling or struggling with, or saying, you know what, I'm ready to let go of this, and this, because it's so ingrained and entwined in either their culture, their upbringing, I don't know, how they were raised and the way that they've always done something, or, you know, habits that they have, where I think that's where, again, like, conviction plays a role and repentance plays a role, and knowing that the goodness of God is so good that, like, why would I hold on to this thing? And I think maybe that plays a role in understanding who Jesus is, and giving your life to Christ is looking at something that you've done and knowing that God is better, and that letting go of those things and abiding by him is the greatest route that you could go. To kind of close this out, I wanted to read something that I wrote in my Bible, and I don't know when I wrote this, but I wanted to go ahead and read it. I wrote, I am wanted and rejoiced over. The Lord wants me here at Liberty. There are so many here that made me feel as though I was too dirty or uneducated and didn't know enough scripture, but I am here and wanted by the Lord. I repent and come down to my knees in prayer, and the Lord hears this, he knows this, and is proud of me. I hope that the biggest takeaway in all of this is that no matter what part of life, no matter what walk of life, what stage you're in right now, that the Lord wants you here, and that sometimes things or people or places will make you feel as though God is absent, or Christianity isn't something that you want, or you don't like the church, or you don't like this, or you don't like that. And recognizing that, okay, but the Lord wants you here. He is welcoming you with open arms, no matter where you are coming from. And that is so beautiful to have your creator, wanting you here, knowing you by name, and loving you no matter what. That's all I have for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope there's more to come. But to start out with the first episode, I think this is pretty good. Anyways, goodbye and God bless.